at present in our level of absorption in Krishna consciousness. We had discussed that it is so important for our life to create a subtle reality. What I mean with this is that it is known that from whatever you have in your mind, your life will develop. So if you want to change your life, you actually have to change the content of what you think. Is that was clear, isn't it, that we did? And then Monday was spent in laying the foundations a little bit. In our workshop, we did a few meditations and we discussed a little bit what is the foundation of our spiritual life. That's the understanding of our spiritual nature as a soul. We will hear a little bit more today about this when we do our nature meditation. There we will actually sit down again in the nature and we will broaden our perception and widen our perception and then see actually some amazing spiritual realizations. Today, in this morning lecture, I would like to talk about Abhideya, or our main process which will bring us to this spiritual realization. I will also discuss a very provoking question, a thought-provoking question, and attempt to convince all of you why it is important to take to full heart the process of Mahaprabhu, which he has revealed to us as a way to actually become self and God realized. So let us now go right into the text. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Tannamarupa charitadi sukirtananu. Tannamarupa charitadi sukirtananu. Smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyojya.
Smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyojya.
Tishtan brajetat anuragi jananugami.
Tishtan brajetat anuragi jananugami.
Kalam nayeta kilamit yupadesha saram.
Kalam nayeta kilamit yupadesha saram.
Tannamarupa charitadi sukirtananu.
Tannamarupa charitadi sukirtananu.
smrityo krame narasana manasi niyocha.
Smrityo krame narasana manasi niyocha.
Tishtan braje tat anuragi jananugami.
Tishtan braje tat anuragi jananugami.
Kalang nayet akilamit yupadeshasaram.
Kalam nayet akilamit yupadeshasaram.
Yes, please, someone else.
Tannama rupa charita visukirtanano.
Tannama rupa charita visukirtanano.
Vitya kamena rasana manasi niyojya.
Vitya kamena rasana manasi niyojya.
Vishtan vajeta dhanurati jananugami.
Vishtan vajeta dhanurati jananugami.
Kalam nayeta kilamityu padesha saram.
Kalam nayeta kilamityu padesha saram.
Kannama rupa charitari sukirtanani.
Kannama rupa charitari sukirtanani.
Smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyojya.
Smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyojya.
Tishtan racheta dhanurani chananukami.
Tishtan racheta dhanurani chananukami.
Thank you. Can we have one Mataji, please? Jananugami Galam Nayanagiladeshya Saram. Yes. Because we have a little time, I will go directly to the translation. Please listen attentively, because this verse is introduced to us as the essence of all advice. I think you have heard a lot of instructions already, a lot of advices. Now let's go to the essence. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and then mind. In this way, one should reside in Braj and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. But one should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. Let us just quickly go through the points which this verse makes. So we find here actually a speciality of our Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition. Our tradition aims really at full absorption, and the way this is being done is that you go to a place where that is possible. I think you all know, if you want to study, you won't go in a room where a party is going on. You can't concentrate there. So if you want to become fully absorbed in Krishna, listen to this, you won't stay in the Western world. It's a waste of time. This is what the verse says. Oops. We didn't come. Oh, this is very unusual. Listen further. The verse continues. It says, 24 hours a day, not just a little time, 2 hours or 1 hour or 2 minutes or 30 seconds, no. 24 hours a day, one should engage himself in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes. And the way this is happening is, first you do it on the physical level, that means you chant and you hear with your tongue, and after some time of doing this, you are becoming so absorbed that the mind, not just the tongue or the body, is engaged in chanting and remembering Krishna's qualities, pastimes, and so on and so forth. So again it says, where should you do this? You should reside in Braj, and there you should take shelter under the devotees of Krishna and serve under the guidance of a devotee, you know, like it was done in all ancient traditions. One would go to a master of martial arts and study from him how to use the sword. So in the same way, you would go to a master of this process, remembering Krishna, chanting, and under his guidance you would practice, not on your own, because that would take too long in order to bring you perfection. So then you should also do something in addition to it. You learn under the guidance of a devotee who lives there in Vrindavan, but you should also then meditate about a dear associate of Krishna, and this refers to one of his associates in the spiritual world, like Rupa Manjari, like Sridham Sakha, and so on. And there you should follow. This is called Raganuga. You follow someone who has Raga. It's not like Ananta Vadan said yesterday, Raganuga is to eat spontaneously a sweet. You know, it is a little bit more deeper than this process. I was listening to Ananda Vadan. I was standing on the staircase and I was marveling about his Brahminical knowledge, which reminded me of Madhu Mangal's explanations in the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Yes, we are what we are, beginners on the spiritual path. So, yes, this is the idea of the text now. Now, I know, I hope now some of the older devotees won't run out of the room because it's so so spiritual, really, and so uncompromising spiritual. Let us understand, you know, what is the essence of our tradition, and then let us ask the question, now how will we do this in our modern times? Purport. Since the mind may be one's enemy or one's friend, one has to train the mind to become his friend. You know, it's possible you have you live with an enemy all your life, so better you train him and make him your friend. The Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for training the mind to be always engaged in Krishna's business. The mind contains hundreds and thousands of impressions, not only of this one life, but also of many, many lives of the past. These impressions sometimes come in contact with one another and produce contradictory pictures. In this way, the mind's function can become dangerous for a conditioned soul. Students of psychology are aware of the mind's various psychological changes. Srila Prabhupada refers here to the fact that our emotions are very often changing due to certain stimuli which come from outside, and we are not always in full control of this. We are, in fact, controlled by our emotions, and therefore a dangerous situation can happen. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said, now this is an important text, it will tell us why it is so important to make the mind the friend and to practice mental hygiene, so to say. It says, yang yang vapi smarang bhavang tvajante kalevaram tam tam evaiti konteya sada tat bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. Srila Prabhupada now will explain this verse to us. At the time of death, he says, the mind and intelligence of a living entity create the subtle form of a certain type of body for the next life. If the mind suddenly thinks of something not very congenial, it means good, one has to take a corresponding birth in the next life. On the other hand, if one can think of Krishna at the time of death, he can be transferred to the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. This process of transmigration is very subtle. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami advises devotees to train their minds in order that they will be unable to remember anything other than Krishna. Similarly, the tongue should be trained to speak only of Krishna and taste only Krishna prasadam. And Srila Rupa Goswami further advises, Tishtan Braje, one should live in Vrindavan or any part of Brajabhumi. When one makes Vrindavan his residence, he should take shelter of an advanced devotee there. In this way, one should always think of Krishna and his pastimes. Hare Krishna. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Vajarine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paskachari Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Govaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A philosopher once has described our life in this world with a breathtaking analogy. He has said that our life is like falling from a mountain. When you fall from the top of a mountain, only one thing is sure, and that is that you will crash on the ground and die. So this mountain of our life, he has calculated, is 32 million kilometers high. At the time of your birth, you are on the top of that 32 million kilometer high mountain. And from that time on, you fall. You fall for a length of, he has calculated, the life duration of... I'm not so sure. It was 30 Mercedes Benzes. You know, a Mercedes Benz can drive about 420 kilometers. That's the calculation. Not 420 kilometers. 420,000 kilometers. So you spend one Mercedes Benz, then you buy a new one. Again, he drives for that amount of kilometers, and then again, and so on. So while you fall, you talk, you make relationships, you are very busy about eating and cooking, building a home for yourself, and so on and so forth. And you live your life, you are not asking the question, can I do something about this, you know, pang at the end where I fall on the asphalt and I will just die. This was his analogy. Let us think about it. I think we don't like this analogy very much because it's so scary, but it has something. I don't feel one analogy describes the life perfectly. It just points us to one fact that we all will die, and it's good if we use our time properly. Now, this verse has an answer to this question. Is there a solution to this ultimate pang, you know, falling on the ground? And the verse says, yes, you can train your mind in this lifetime in such a way that when your invariable, when your final end comes, that's the end of the body, when that comes, you will actually go to the eternal kingdom of God and live eternal. That's the solution of this verse. Now, when you hear about this verse, now, when you hear this verse in this context, that you are all heading invariably to your own physical death, when you hear about this in this context, I think it makes it is clear why there is such a need to really train the mind and make it absorbed, and why it is so much a waste of time, really, if you live your life and not train your mind properly for your eternal life. It is very clear, actually. There are many analogies which are given like this, that this life is like a stay, an overnight stay in a motel. For a devotee, also this life is like a stay in a motel, but in a motel on the way to Jagannath Puri. This is how Gaur Govinda Maharaj describes. Because the devotee knows, I am here in this body for a certain purpose, to prepare myself for my real life, my eternal life. Therefore, he does not waste his time with unnecessary activities. He goes to the essence. In this verse, describes so beautifully what could be that essence. That it's in one word, practice absorption of your mind in the essential things of life, because it is the mind which will decide where you will go when this life comes to an end. Now, this training program takes place in four steps in this life, and fifth step in the next life. This is very important for you to know. In your training in spiritual life, there are four levels which you should attain in this human life, in this while you're still in a body, and there's one fifth level which you cannot attain in this body. You need your spiritual body for that. So the four levels, where it starts with Shravandas, hearing. The scriptures, Jagannath, what is his name? Jagadananda Pandit in Prema Vivata states that the living entity is on a journey from body to body in this life, and this journey comes to an end when he finally meets a sadhu who explains to him the spiritual knowledge of Krishna consciousness. This is the first step, hearing. The second step is coming right after this, is called Varanadasha, or acceptance. You know, you cannot progress if you don't accept the Sambandha Gyan and the Abhideya Gyan. That means the knowledge of who you are and the knowledge of what you should do as a spiritual practice to reach perfection. It's called acceptance. And like this verse tells us, this acceptance has also a personal dimension. When I was at the Yoga Vidya Center, I told the people, you know, the absolute truth is not something, but he is someone. Oh, someone? That was a revolution in the thinking. So that someone, the personality of Godhead, can be reached under the guidance of someone who is more advanced in this path. So therefore, Varanadasa, or acceptance, means two things. First, it means the acceptance of the world view, Sambandha, and then of the Abhideya, the particular practice or Übungsweg, which helps you to reach your perfection. So that you have to accept, and then it's good to accept a spiritual guide on that path. That's Varanadas, second step. Third step, and I think you will agree with me that this is the process where most of you are, is called Sadhanadasha. It means practice, or let me put it in a different wording today. It's an attempt for realization. It's not when we do our practice or when we join the movement that we are realized. No, we are beginners like everyone else, but we are attempting we are aspiring to get some spiritual realization, some real connection with the Lord. And it is on this level where all the struggle takes place. It's an attempt. It's tough. I'm most probably here the oldest person in this room. I'm already heading towards my grave. I'm so old, it's a scandal. And I'm also practicing already since more than 40 years. And I can tell you, Sarana Dasha, that's a struggle if you take it seriously. Because at the moment when we start, we are not yet realized. And that's not even the problem. We have a nature, a material nature, which if we are not very careful with it, it can pull us towards material life. If we don't do what we have heard yesterday, Krishna telling Uddhava, we are lost. That is, if we don't know how to use this world and the objective reality, you know, which is out there, separate from me, the subject, if we don't know how to use it, and what is favorable on our path and what is not favorable, no chance, forget it. You won't have any, even beginner's spiritual realizations will not come to you on this path. So it's a struggle. You have to get things right. You have to study it. You have to know how to do it so that it works for you. Now, after Sadhana Dasha comes in this, while you're still in this world, Apana Dasa, the stage of realization which you get in this world. You will all of a sudden feel, oh yes, oh my God. Prabhupada said it so often, but I just know I'm a spirit soul. I have nothing to do with the body and the mind. You feel like... And it's always totally different than you think it is when you are just still attempting it. You can't grasp the things with your mind. They are spiritual gifts which are given. Apanadas. That's while you're still in this world. Now, with this realization which you have, this divine experiences, this which give you absolute certitude, you can be placed on that in the midst of the desert, and there will be no one, not even a mosquito, who practices Krishna consciousness around you, and you will be just in bliss, in ecstasy, because you know what is, you have realized it. It's not a struggle for such a soul. Let us pay our obeisances to these great souls who, while living in this world, have this realization. Can you see how important someone like Srila Prabhupada is in our life? How would we know? How would we even have faith if there wouldn't be a role model for us, like a pure devotee? They are the greatest benefit for this material world. Because just by the fact that they walk amongst us ordinary men and women, we gain faith. It is possible. And they invite us. They say, you can also do it. Like Prabhupada said, do like I do. Just follow me, come behind me, And we did, and we also felt... We felt it's true. As we in old ISKCON language, I feel it, man, we used to say, Most of the devotees came from the hippie background, and that was the language in which they would communicate. So then comes Prapanadas. That's when you have left the material world, when you have obtained your true eternal identity, and when you reach Krishna, it is described in how Krishna will greet you, and I want to read this in your own world, in his own words, so that you get some happiness in your heart early in the morning. So the soul who has passed through these stages, Shravandas, hearing, Varandas, accepting, and Sadandas, practicing in a serious attempt for realization, and who has then arrived at the stage of realization, that soul has now attained his spiritual body. And with this spiritual body, he can leave this world even without yet leaving the body. There are great souls who leave in their spiritual body this world and associate with Krishna, engage with Krishna in a loving exchange. But mostly, these are like we heard yesterday, Syamananda and his disciple, you remember his name? Ramachandra, yes. They were engaging in the Leela with Krishna. But usually this Prapana Das comes when you shed the material body like a snake sheds its old skin, which has become dry, and leaves it behind and starts a new life. So then when the soul meets Krishna, Krishna greets him. O friend, I have been carefully holding the storehouse of rasa for you. You alone have rights to it. Storehouse of rasa, this divine ecstasies. Rejecting me, you fell under the spell of my energy of illusion. How much you have suffered. Continuously, I have shown great regard for you. I didn't leave you, although you left me. But now you have attained this level by your own efforts. I am so extremely pleased with you. Serve my ever fresh, pleasurable form and play with me in the endless ocean of bliss. Do not fear any longer and do not lament, because you have attained the eternal life of bliss. For my sake, you have cut all the chains of material attachment. I will never be able to repay the depths of love which you have shown to me. Be naturally satisfied in your seva. How nice Krishna is. He factually states the ugly truth. We have left him. We have rejected him. But then he says it so lovingly. Somehow you woke up, and then for my sake, that is, for my benefit, you have cut all the chains of your material attachments. Thank you. Thank you that you have come. I will never be able to repay the depths of love you have shown to me. Be naturally satisfied in your seva. So, the natural question to this is, to this training program, you know, let me call it in a better way, this step-by-step process, which brings us into Krishna's loving presence, is how do we do this now in this day and age? And you know, what is really the process? Now, I have a very, very dear and very realized disciple who read this verse and went to Vrindavan and lives in Vrindavan since more than 15 years and never leaves. A very advanced soul, who understood, well, I have this human form of life, let me take everything which is favorable for realization. And I had many discussions with that disciple, how to exactly do it, how to come to this Apanadas level and Prapanadas level. I want to answer this question for you with something which became crystal clear to a group of devotees who were last, I think it must have been March in Mayapur. We had observed or attended the Kirtan Mela, an international function where for a few days devotees from all over the world just chanted the holy name before the Panchatattva. It was really something else. The chant in Mayapur, Kuvalishaya Vishwakarma had decorated the hall. He had installed Haridas Thakur, the Nam Acharya, and it was really an unforgettable event for the world. There were 20,000 people chanting with us on internet a day. Imagine. Hare Krishna in Alaska. and so on. So, some of the devotees who had done kirtan took a day off. They took a boat and were floating up the Jalangi in a boat, in a river. We wanted to visit Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is considered the pioneer of Krishna consciousness in the modern time, had revealed how the process of realization most practically takes place following the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, God himself, who gave us the process. It's not, in other words, a process which is only coming from the 1800 something, but it is something really traditional, really something which has power because God has given us. And he said, of course, it is chanting the holy name, but please wait a minute. Don't think, oh, I have heard this a million times. It didn't work with me. Goodbye, sunshine. You know, no. You will hear something absolutely new, which most of you don't know yet. He compared, let us just hear, that the chanting with the holy name with the blossoming of the flower. By giving this example, he wanted to say that there are different stages in chanting. Just like a little flower starts as a bud, knospe, and then before it blossoms and shows its form and its fragrance, it will go through different levels of opening. You know, now it's a little bit more open, it will be more open, and finally, well, this is not a very, it's a very simple flower, but no, here is some secret which you have not seen before. See inside, finally you will see the inside. That's where the flower multiplies here. You know, do you see these? It's like a center. It's called the whirl of the flower. So you don't see that in the beginning. So he says, the holy name is the bud of the flower of divine love. You don't see that in the beginning when you chant. It comes later. And the holy name is the very abode of astonishing mellows. This is rasas. Rasa can only be tasted in an active relationship with Krishna. So from the holy name you get that. Such is the power he manifests that when his holy name starts to blossom a little further, it then reveals his own divine form. In other words, the chanter will chant Hare Krishna and see Krishna. And the qualities. He will see how Krishna, for instance, is very grateful to him, like we heard. He will experience the gratefulness of the gratitude of God in his life. Thus, my heart is conducted and taken directly to Krishna when I chant. Blossoming fully. Ram Gopal would say, volle Kanne. Blossoming fully, the holy name takes me to Braj and reveals to me his own loving pastimes. Wow! The holy name apparently brings us to the spiritual dimension, and there I will see the eternal pastimes of Krishna. This name gives to me my own eternal spiritual body and keeps me right by Krishna's side and completely destroys everything related to this mortal frame of mine. Now, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has taken these verses which we heard, which describe how the holy name reveals more and more how he is absolutely identical with Krishna, and then takes me to back home, back to Godhead. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur made it a little bit more clear what we are to do if we want to experience this in our journey from Shravandas to Prapanadas. He says the first level really of this practice means you have to chant avoiding the 10 offenses against the holy name. Because when you chant the holy name with offenses, these offenses block the result. It's almost like when you go on a sunny day outside but there are clouds, then you cannot see the sun and you cannot feel the warmth of the sunshine on your skin. So you chant the holy name, but if you produce clouds at the same time, you know, from your ears and nose and mouth, if you make offenses at that time, you cannot really experience the warming nature of Krishna's holy name. That means you cannot feel transcendental pleasure in your chanting. So the first level is cloudless chanting. The second level is a level where one realizes one's own spiritual form. Now the way this starts is that while you chant, you begin to understand that you, in your essential nature, deinem Wesenskern, are not the body and the mind. To make it more clear, what this means is something which many of you have realized in that amazing meditation yesterday, where we could actually feel for a moment that, my God, we are separate from the body. You should have seen yourself after the meditation, how you observed your body. You really could see it as an objective reality outside of you as the perceiver. Today we will do more of this when we do our nature meditations. No? So then, when you have realized that you are a spiritual being, you start to realize Krishna's spiritual form. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati expressed this in a very clear terminology. He says, only the holy name reveals the spiritual form of the living being and then causes him to be attracted to Krishna's form. So as you chant, your spirit, it starts very simple, that you understand in generic terms, also auf eine allgemeine Weise, that you are different from the body and the mind also, very important, and the emotions. You can just see them as you see a film in your home cinema, when you put your DVDs in your home cinema program. You can see all this very clearly. I am separate, yes. And then you start to really appreciate Krishna's form and his attract, and become attracted to this. Now Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur will explain more of this revelation, but he says how slowly your own qualities, I mean who you really are, become revealed to you, and your own activities become revealed to you, what you really do, not this conditioned qualities and conditioned activities which are not really you, it's something else, it's material nature acting. I think we all say this, meine Natur is acting, it's this meine, that's my nature, but what we actually, we often don't think so deeply while we do our activities, what this means, it's really the material nature, but because we are so identified, we say it's mine. You don't own anything in this world. You will lose all this. But for, you know, for daily life, we say my nature. That's all right in daily activities. But it's really not your nature. It's something which is projected upon you by your own karma. So slowly everything becomes revealed to you, and finally your service. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati ends, he says, by service to the holy name, we do not only mean the service of chanting, no, all the other services to Krishna which one has as a soul. By serving the holy name with your body, mind and soul, the direction of your eternal service becomes spontaneously, Anandavaran, spontaneously revealed and manifested like the sun in the clear sky of the chanter's heart. No? There are no clouds in such a chanter's life. There is the clear sun of Krishna, which is not covered, which shines right in the heart, in the sky of the heart, and it reveals to you everything as clear as daylight. You know, in the night of material life, we can't see, but when the sun of the holy name rises without any clouds, as it comes in the sky of our heart, that's where the sun rises. Ananda Nitai, then everything becomes revealed. Ooh. And you know already, when you chant, you know already, some things become clear. Oh, I shouldn't be such a meeslink, you know, such a wrong person. And I shouldn't do these wrong things. And I should not just, I shouldn't, one devotee wrote me, I shouldn't motz around, you know. That's a German word from the hippie scene, you know. Herummotzen, you know. No, we should not, we understand by chanting, oh, let me have my spiritual life, you know. I don't want to have all these negative energies around me. Now, as you are struggling, don't think you are alone. As you are struggling, Krishna watches you. He sees everything what you do. As he says here, for my sake you have done all this. Krishna is there and he's there and thinking, hopefully he will make it. Oh, I will send him some support. I will send him some devotees. I will send him some Mahaprasadam. I will give him a nice experience in Kirtan so that he gets faith. Oh, Krishna is there and he really, really wants. So, when you struggle, my dear devotees, don't think you are alone. Krishna is there. He watches you and he is so impressed with everyone. Prabhupada speaks what to do in this struggling phase. He says, sometimes disturbances come, but the agonies has qualm, and anxieties, die ganzen Sorgen und Ängste of the devotee are at once mitigated. Mitigated means it's brought down, abgeschwächt in Deutsch. You know, when these disturbances and are at once mitigated, when the devotees think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his beautiful form or the smiling face of the Lord. When you feel the blues, means very bad, go and sit before Krishna's beautiful form. Just look at his smile. Look at the compassion of his heart, which does manifest through the smile. You know, just sit there. Bring your worries and bring your anxieties to Krishna. Don't do your struggle alone. Then it is a little difficult. Do your struggle with Krishna. This is very good. Some devotees have said, the only thing which saved me all these long years was when I sat before Krishna and saw him smiling. Hare Krishna. What you else can do, don't struggle alone. Struggling alone is very dangerous. And when you lose and you lose and you lose and you have no one with whom you can interchange, it gets not so nice. So you should have association with devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the whole teachings of Ramanujacharya can be summarized in one sentence. Would you like to know? It's a big acharya. Ooh. He says, when no other sadhana helps you, go and sit amongst the devotees of the Lord. Finished. And I think we noticed this. Yesterday there were so many good and first class devotees who were all interested in Lord Chaitanya and Krishna's activity, and an atmosphere was generated. One devotee who is an expert in atmosphere said, oh, when we started it was all a little stiff. But at the end, everyone was just, more, please, more, I need this. Because when you sit amongst devotees, when you chant amongst devotees, all these things come flying to you. They come into your heart. Don't avoid the devotees. When you do so, then you have to struggle alone, and it's not always easy because you are in an atmosphere of Kali Yuga. You cannot always trust your own mind 100%. It changes. Good. I want to end here. I thank you very much for hearing, listening this. I want to see if you have a quick question on what you have heard. Ratna Bhushan, Bhushan Prabhu.
I remember Srila Prabhupada saying, compare the holy name to medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that even if you don't know it, you take it.
Yeah.
And then in another place he says, because Krishna is a sentient being, the proportion of the purification depends upon our conscious acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could just comment on that, how in one sense it's purifying, but in the sense I have to be conscious.
We find two types of statements regarding the holy name and the process. One is you take it without really knowing about it. You just take it like medicine which works, or fire which burns without you knowing how it does it. And the other statement is you do have to make a conscious relationship, because Krishna is a conscious being. He's not an unconscious being. So this refers to different levels of achievement. When you do something in Krishna consciousness unconsciously and you keep it, doing it, provided you don't make offenses, then it works, even without your knowledge. We hear of Ajamil, who chanted the holy name and really meant his son. He didn't have Krishna in his mind. He chanted in a helpless way, and there he got a second chance. But note, Ajamil didn't go back home, back to Godhead, because he, by his unconscious practice, he was just given another chance. What he did is, he left his family and everything and made a pilgrimage to Haridwar, which he apparently reached quite soon. He was not very far away from Haridwar. And there on the banks of the Ganga, he engaged in chanting the holy name and then went back to Godhead. He saw, so by unconscious activities in devotional service, which are done without offenses, you can already get a lot of benefit, like freedom from suffering, for instance, provided you don't do these, you don't produce your clouds. But by conscious activities, you get a conscious relationship with Krishna. For that, you need to be conscious. It's now 9:10, and I would like to end here. I request Gaurahari to come and give us an orientation over the day.